Turning back tonight to John chapter 21 and to the words of verse 15. Find some of the words in verse 16 and also again in verse 17. For the Lord, speaking to Peter, asks him what I've called the supreme question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In verse 15, you'll notice there's the additional words, lovest thou me more than these? But that question, lovest thou me, appears in those three verses of Scripture. The supreme question, lovest thou Christ? Let's with our Bibles open there. Let's just pause for a word of prayer and let's seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. Lord, we thank Thee for the opportunity that's ours to draw aside on a Sabbath evening right into Thy house to worship Thee. Bless Thee for the hymns that we've been singing tonight. We thank Thee for Thy word that we've read. We thank Thee we read in this chapter of a risen Christ. We thank Thee we serve a risen Savior. Lord, I pray now that Thou wilt take this passage of Thy word, and especially, Lord, this question, and I pray that Thou wilt write it upon my heart and upon the heart of all those who are gathered in this house. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt search our hearts tonight, that Thou wilt make this to be a heart-searching meeting. Lord, Thou wilt do a work in the hearts of all who are gathered here. Have mercy on us, Lord. I pray now for the infilling of Thy Spirit. And I pray for power to preach. Lord, put Thy word into my mouth. I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ marked the lowest point in his entire Christian life. Out of all the disciples, Peter had been the most forthright in his allegiance to the Savior. He was unashamed to be identified with Christ. He was a man who was ready to speak up and speak out in defense of the Savior. He was one of those disciples who was ready to go anywhere and do anything in order to be with the Lord. And it was that kind of mentality that led Peter to say in response to Christ's warning that his disciples would be offended by him. It was that kind of mentality that caused Peter to say in Matthew 26 and verse 33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And that was very strong language. And when Peter says there, yet will I never be offended, what he was literally saying was, I will never at all, I will never at any time be offended because of thee. I'm convinced that Peter meant what he said. He was resolved never to let the Savior down. He was determined in his own heart to be true to Christ right to the end. He was convinced that he would never fall into that snare of being offended because of Jesus Christ. And yet within a few hours of making those bold statements, Peter found himself challenged by a little girl in Pilate's hall. And as he warmed himself by the fire in the company of Christ's accusers, this same Peter spewed out a series of oaths and curses and denied that he ever knew Christ at all. Three times he said, I know not the man. And in the space of a few minutes, bold, determined, uncompromising Peter had committed a sin against Christ that has been remembered by men for centuries, and it marked one of the lowest points in his Christian experience. I'm just tempted to pause there and make a few observations before going on to the text that I've drawn your attention to tonight. And let me do this very quickly and by saying it's possible for a Christian to sin against the Lord and by words or by actions deny Him. Christ was not denied here by His enemies. He was denied by one of his friends. Peter was a true disciple. He was a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. He knew Christ in a saving way, yet he denied him. And believer, Christians can sin directly against Jesus Christ. How many talk and behave in such a way as to effectively deny they ever knew him? And there are Christians all over this country, and I suppose all over the world, and they behave as if they are ashamed of Jesus Christ. I learn also here that failure to separate from the world increases the likelihood of such a sin being committed. This is where Peter went terribly wrong. When Christ was arrested and led from the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter followed afar off. And when the mob brought Christ to trial, Peter joined himself with that crowd in Pilate's hall. John chapter 18, verse 18, I read these words, "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." And those are very ominous words. Peter stood with them. With the officers, with the soldiers who had just brought Christ to Pilate's hall. He was a man who was in the wrong place and with the wrong people. And while Peter, this true believer, was in a compromised position, it was there that he denied his Lord. Failure and separation will invariably lead to a fall into sin. And countless Christians have gone that way. They go with the world into the places of the world to engage in the pleasures of the world and to follow the practices of the world. And in that state, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. A lack of separation has led to sin. I discover also that sin against Christ comes when His Word is forgotten. Christ had warned Peter off this. He had told him that before the cock would crow twice, that he would deny him three times. Did Peter take that warning to heart? Did he hide the Word of Christ in his heart so that he would not sin against him? No, Peter failed to remember the warning. Thus he sinned against the Lord. And every sin, and I think I can say this without fear of contradiction, every sin has this dimension to it. It doesn't matter what sin we commit. That sin is committed in defiance of and in disobedience to the Word of God. When a Christian neglects to take heed to God's Word, he's on the path of tragic sin. And this undoubtedly was a tragic time in Peter's life. Whoever would have thought that this mighty disciple, this outspoken follower of Jesus Christ, this earnest and good man of God, whoever would have thought that Peter would have fallen in this way? But it happened. And the sobering thing is this, it is still happening tonight. Let me put it this way to you. Who amongst us in this meeting is not guilty in some way or another of a similar sin against Christ? Have we never denied Him? Maybe not with oaths and curses as Peter did, but by our actions, by our carelessness. Have we never behaved in a way that has brought some dishonor, some shame upon Jesus Christ? Have we never acted publicly? Have we never acted privately, contrary to His Word, and have made it out as if Christ was nothing to us and we did not really know Him? You know, if we're honest, the answer to those questions is a sad yes. Peter is not alone here. He sinned, and we sin too. But that was not the end for this man. It would have been a double tragedy if this had marked the absolute end of Peter's usefulness for God. He had denied the Lord, but Christ had not denied him. And right there in Pilate's hall, in the midst of his own suffering, Jesus Christ looked at Pilate, or looked at Peter, and immediately Peter went out and wept bitterly. And those were tears of sorrow, tears of repentance, tears of regret, tears of shame, tears of remorse. They were an expression of a man's heart who was broken and of his contrition over what he had just done. And those tears and that repentance formed an essential part of Peter's restoration. Let me say this tonight, the backslider can be restored. Thank God he can. David testified in Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul." He went on to say in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And believer, listen to me, there is restoration for us. There was for Peter. And part of that gracious work is recorded here in John chapter 21. This passage that we have read records an amazing sequence of events. And it highlights an amazing conversation between the risen Christ and Peter. And the hub of this episode, the hub of this entire conversation, these verses, is the question which Christ posed to Peter three times. Verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" I call this the supreme question. For there is no other question more important than this one. J.C. Ryle asked, or once made the comment, "This is no matter for mere enthusiasts or fanatics. Our very salvation is bound up with it. Life or death, heaven or hell, depend on our ability to answer this simple question: do you love Christ? Lovest thou me?" Notice first of all the challenge in the question. If there's one outstanding truth that emerges from this incident, it is that Christ would have men determine the extent of their love for him. Christ would have men determine the extent of their love for him. When Christ asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" he was effectively calling this man to a time of self-examination. This was a probing question. It challenged Peter to consider how it really was between him and the Lord. It was designed to make Peter stop and consider the reality or otherwise of his love for the Savior. And Peter is being called here to ascertain where he really stands in relation to the Lord. "Lovest thou me?" And Christ would have his professing people to do the same tonight. Listen, it's possible for a Christian to lose his first love. I think of the church at Ephesus as one of the success stories of the New Testament church, a very New Testament Christianity, a church that was highly commended by the Lord himself, a church that was praised for its labors and for its discernment and for its faithfulness to the truth. And yet that same church that is so highly commended by the Lord was urged to repent of a solemn sin. Revelation 2 and verse 4, where the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love." And that church in the city of Ephesus did not love Christ as it had done in the past. And when that letter was written in Revelation chapter 2, it was designed to cause that church to face up to that situation. And the Lord Jesus Christ would have us tonight to consider the very same issue. Have we as individuals, have we as believers left our first love? Do we love Christ as much now as we did before? That's the challenge to Peter. You'll notice the circumstance of the challenge. Christ asked this question in a situation where he had just shown his unfailing love for his disciples. Look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There you have his coming to his disciples. Look at verse 6. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. These men had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. And Christ says, cast your net on the other side. That speaks of Christ's care for his disciples. And then look at verse 12, when he says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And there you have the thought of Christ's communion with his disciples. And I want you to see that this meeting between Christ and his disciples was initiated by the Lord. The disciples did not go looking for Christ. Rather, he came to where they were, and Christ had a word for them. He drew them to himself in fellowship. He miraculously supplied their need that day, and he took care of the entire situation. And this whole chapter speaks of Christ as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one who cares for his people and who meets them at the very point of their need. He showed his love for them. There that day by the sea, the Lord gave to his disciples great and gracious tokens for good. There's no question but that Christ is revealing his love for them. And when he engages Peter in personal conversation, there is no question either about his continual love for Peter. Even though Peter had sinned against him, Christ loved him with an everlasting love. And it was in that setting, amid the mercies of Christ, that this question was asked. Yes, Christ loved Peter. But the question was, did Peter love Christ? And when I think of that, and I think of the circumstances of this, is it not true, believer, that we have received mercies from the Lord, and the Lord has been constant in his grace toward us? He has been continual in his love for us. Think of what Christ has done for you. Think of him there in the past, coming from heaven, being born in Bethlehem, going the whole way to Calvary, laying down his life, shedding his blood, dying for us. Think of what he is doing for us at this present time. The Prince and the Savior, he is exalted, and he is seated at God's right hand, and Christ is not inactive there. He is praying for us. Not only do we think about his passion on Calvary, but I think about his prayers in glory. And think about what he's yet to do for us. He is yet to come again and take us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And there's his promise for eternity. He has surrounded us with mercies. He has repeatedly revealed his love toward us. He has given every evidence of an everlasting love to our souls. But the question is this, in the light of all that Christ has done for us, in the light of all that Christ is presently doing, and in the light of all that Christ is yet to do for his people, what is our love for him like tonight? Lovest thou him, Christian? Do you love Christ? Do you think of all that Christ has done and how he has shown his love for you? Do we love him? Lovest thou me? Notice the concern or the center of the challenge. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The issue in question was the issue of love. Christ did not ask, Simon, do you believe in me? Simon, do you obey me? Simon, do you trust me? Simon, do you serve me? Simon, do you follow me? Those would have been very important questions, very important matters. But the question was even more pointed than that. Lovest thou me? Now that was coming to the very nitty-gritty of things. Here's a question, and it focuses right on Peter's heart. For the heart is the seat of love. That's why this is the question of all questions. Where does your love lie? You notice how particular the question is. It's not a general question. Verse 15, lovest thou me more than these? Now there's a difference of opinion among commentators as to what that little phrase "more than these" is referring to. Some suggest it refers to the nets that were lying before Peter, because we discover in verse 3 that he's gone back to his fishing. And he has just dragged the net up to the shore, and some commentators are suggesting that when Christ asked the question, lovest thou me more than these, he was referring to the nets. Peter, do you love me more than your boats and your nets and your employment? There are other commentators, and they say, no, their reference has to do with the other disciples who were gathered round. And what Christ was saying to Peter was, lovest thou me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than them? Either way, the question dealt with Peter's priorities. In fact, it was as if Christ was saying, do you love me more than anything? Peter, do you love me more than everything else? That's the question that Christ was asking. And the word lovest that's used in verse 15 and verse 16 ought to be noted also. It's a word which denotes a great love. It's a word that's used of God's love toward Christ. A deep, deep love. And that's what Christ was asking Peter. Do you love me above everything else with the deepest, the greatest, the highest, the fullest love? Lovest thou me? Now that's the question for every one of us tonight. Do you love Christ more than anything or everything else in this world? That's not a question about denominational allegiance. It's not a question about church personalities or personal preferences among men. That's not what I'm interested in tonight, Christian. This is a question about our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to personalize that. It's a question about my love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also a question about your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we could substitute our names there. Take Peter's name out of it and put our name into that statement and ask the question, or as if Christ is asking us the question personally, lovest thou me more than these? Do we love him more than anything else in the world? And I mean anything else in the world. Do we love Christ more than our families, our wives, and our children? That's the term of discipleship. Luke 14, verse 26. Do we love Christ more than our employment? Do we love Christ more than our recreation? Do we love Christ more than our hobbies? Do we love Christ more than everything else that's part of our lives? Is he everything to us? Is he the fairest of 10,000 to our souls? Is Christ all in all to us? That's the question. That's the question tonight. Do we love Christ more than everything else in the world? I see also here the concern in the challenge. Why did Christ ask this question at this time? Undoubtedly it had to do with Peter's denial of him those days earlier in Pilate's hall. But not only that. Look at verse 3. I've mentioned this already. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And you'll find there are seven names there, and these other men go with Simon Peter and they take up their fishing again. Peter had gone back to his fishing. 3 years earlier, he had been called to leave his nets and follow Christ. Remember when they were mending their nets and Christ came and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And those many years ago, those three and a half years ago, Peter dropped his nets and he followed Christ. He had forsaken all for the Lord. He had given up his boats. He had given up his nets. He had given up the life of a fisherman. And instead of fishing in the sea, he began to follow Christ and became a fisher of souls. But he had gone back. He had gone back to his fishing. And his statement in verse 3, "I go a fishing," was a backward step. Here's a man and he's beginning to take up the things he once let go. And it was then, and with the denial still in mind as well, it was then with that in mind that Christ challenged him, "Peter," or "Simon, lovest thou me?" You see, there was evidence that all was not well with Peter. Christ challenged him. Is there evidence that our love for Christ is not all that it should be tonight? Come on, Christian, answer that question to yourself. Is there evidence there in your life, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, that your love for Christ is not all that it should be? Are there signs there in your life of spiritual decay? Spiritual declension? Are there signs beginning to appear in your Christian testimony that all is not what it once was with you and the Lord? And perhaps this is a very timely question. Lovest thou me? And I tell you, it's a mammoth challenge. How is our love for Jesus Christ, young person who professes faith in Christ, how is your love for Him? Mother, father, how is your love for Jesus Christ? I ask myself the question, how is my love for Christ? Self-examination is vital for a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul says, "So let a man examine himself." And I urge you tonight, as I challenge myself equally, take this question to heart. Think about it. Ponder over it. Pray over it. Ask God to search you. Take up the words of Psalm 139 and verse 23, where the psalmist cries, "Search me, O God, and know me. Know my heart. Try me." Oh, Christian, do not go on without pondering the issues that this question raises. What is your love for Christ like tonight? Maybe there's someone here and you're not saved at all. You've never made a profession of faith. And this question comes, and it comes to you as well. Christ saying, "Lovest thou me?" And almost immediately you've got to say no. Because you've never trusted Christ. Too many Christians go a long time, too long a time, with a love that's fading and falling and growing dim for Jesus Christ. Lovest thou me? A challenge to Peter, but a challenge to us all. Christian, let me ask you again, what is your love for Christ like? For Christ, what is your love for Christ like tonight? Do you love Him? We've just been singing, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Is that true?
We commence tonight with, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Is it true? Is it true? "Lovest Thou me?" The challenge. Notice the confirmation from Peter. Peter could not and did not avoid the question put to him by the Lord. He faced this issue, and as he talked with Christ, he responded to the challenge. Did he love Christ? Yes, he did. Look at verse 15. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Verse 16. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." In verse 17, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Three times Peter says, "I love thee." Now notice there that he confirmed his love immediately. There's not a moment's hesitation. As soon as Christ asks the question, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" he immediately responds, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." There's no reluctance in Peter's heart. Though he had sinned against him in that hall, he had repented, and now when Christ speaks to him, he loves Christ. Can we answer as quickly and with as much conviction and as much assurance as Peter did? Christian, as we have pondered this question, is there a response coming from your heart immediately? "Yes, I love the Lord. Yes, Christ means everything to me. Yes, I can identify with the language in the Song of Solomon. I sought him whom my soul loveth, and I found him, and I would not let him go." And tonight within your heart there's a strong love for Christ. And you can answer, "I love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest I love thee." And you've answered immediately. May that be true of every believer in this house this evening. He also answered and confirmed his love honestly. I've mentioned the word in verse 15 and verse 16, the word that Christ used, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" It's the Greek word agape that Christ uses there when he talks about Peter's love, "lovest thou me." It's a very strong term for love. When Peter replied to Christ, he used a different word. He used the Greek word phileo, which means an affectionate love. You see, Peter realized that his love was not as Christ's love was, and he was very honest when he answers to Christ. And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he lays bare his heart before the Lord. And he confirms his love with honesty. When Christ asks the question the third time, he uses the same word that Peter used. In other words, he accepted Peter's love and he was well pleased with it. Here's a man who answers the question not only immediately, he answers the question honestly. He confirmed his love humbly as well. Verse 17, it says that Peter was grieved. Because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" The word grieved means he was distressed, he was troubled. Why? Because this question made Peter remember, made him face up to the fact that he had denied the Lord three times. And now his love was being challenged three times. And as that third question came, and Peter was made to remember what had happened back in Pilate's hall, he's grieved. He was distressed at his previous lack of love. And And now he confesses his love for Christ in a humble way. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Believer, what's your response tonight? Do you love the Lord? You know, as I pondered this, my mind went back to that Old Testament picture in Exodus chapter 21. The Hebrew servant on the seventh year of his slavery, his bondage, had liberty to go free. But that servant, that slave, could have said to his master, I love my master. I will not go out free. And when he made that kind of profession of love, the master took him to the doorpost and he bored his ear through with an awl. He pierced his ear as a permanent mark that servant had pledged his allegiance to his master. I love my master. Do you love Christ like that tonight? I love my master. I would not go out free. Or is it the case, Christian, the things of this world are stolen your affections. The things of time have taken over your interests. And while there was a time when Christ was loved by you with a very strong love, that's not the case tonight. Oh, that God would challenge your heart, that you might be able to respond to this matter as Peter responded. Yea, Lord, thou knowest. And I'll tell you this, the Lord does know. That's a very sobering thought. The Lord knows how much I love him. And the Lord knows how much you love him. And it's possible for a Christian to keep up appearances. It's possible for a Christian to go through the motions. It's possible for a Christian to do all the right things, but not have a heart filled with love for Jesus Christ. Yea, Lord, thou knowest. That's why we've got to be honest here. I'm not answering this question to men, neither are you. This was not the disciples asking Peter, do you love the Lord, Peter? This was Christ himself asking Peter, lovest thou me? And tonight it's Christ asking us, lovest thou me? And he knows. Therefore, we've got to be honest before him. And believer, if you discover, as you ponder this, and as God applies this to your heart, if you discover your love for Christ is not what it once was, and cry to him to restore it. Determine where you have lost out with him. Determine where you have gone wrong. Come back and profess love for Christ again. The challenge to Peter and the confirmation from Peter. Notice the command for Peter. One of the great truths of this passage is that Christ accepted Peter's love. Yes, he had sinned against him those days earlier in Pilate's hall. But there was restoration for him, and Christ had a word for Peter. It was a word about his work. Look at what he says in verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, after Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee, he saith unto him, feed my sheep. In verse 17, after he confirms his love again, Christ said at the very end of the verse, feed my sheep. There was a work for Peter to do.
Christ there is speaking about my sheep and my lambs, about his flock, about his people, and he trusts Peter to feed the flock. He trusts Peter to care for the lambs. He trusts Peter again with his work. And there's a command regarding his work. The love that he has just professed for Christ will be seen in his love for the lambs and the flock of the sheep of God's people. Peter takes up that theme, and I'll not turn to it tonight, for time is gone, in 1 Peter chapter 5, when he exhorts the elders that were among them to feed the flock of God. And if we love the Lord, if we love the Lord with our hearts, we will have a love for God's people. It's really the theme that I want to come back to on Tuesday night before we come to our communion time. When we partake of the Lord's table and of that communion feast, we're not only feasting by faith on Christ and fellowshipping with him, we are fellowshipping with God's people, members of Christ's body. And our love for Christ will be reflected in our love for God's people. There's a command or a word about his work. There's a word about his warfare. Verse 18, the Lord speaks to Peter about his death, and it's obviously the death of a martyr that's been spoken of here. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. He would suffer persecution. He would be afflicted. He would suffer for his faith, and Christ knew all about it. And even in that kind of death, Peter would glorify the Lord. And Christ is a word about his warfare. Those who love the Lord will endure affliction. They'll endure persecution. Noel mentioned in his opening prayer about the church in Thessalonica, who were exceedingly growing in their faith and also in their charity. In the next verse, it speaks about their patience to endure affliction. And those who love the Lord will endure the trials that come by being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's also a command here about his walk. In verse 19, when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. Isn't it amazing that that's how he was called to be a disciple? Follow me. And now at the end of this book in John chapter 21, after all that had taken place, Christ is saying the very same thing. Peter, follow me. Those who love the Lord will follow him. We'll follow Christ. How do we follow Christ? We follow Christ by having our eyes fixed upon him, by looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we love him, we'll follow him hard with all our hearts. Lovest thou me? It's the supreme question. Christian, ask yourself that question tonight. How is it in regard to your love for Jesus Christ? Just how is it tonight? Is he the fairest of 10,000 to you? Are you following him? Is it your desire to glorify him? Is Christ more than all the world to you? Or have you left your first love? If you have, you can regain it. Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus was commanded to repent. Do the first works.
Christ is married to the backslider. Tonight, if you discover you've left your first love and your love for Christ is not what it ought to be, then, believer, don't let that situation go on. Cry on to Him tonight that He might have mercy on your soul and restore unto you the joy of His salvation. If you're not saved in this meeting and you have no love for Christ at all, the Bible says if any man love not Christ, let him be anathema maranatha, let him be damned, let him be cursed, let him be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. And therefore you need to come to Christ just as you are and trust Him tonight as your Savior. Lovest thou Christ? The supreme question. May God bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. That's a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence tonight. Lord, I pray that the light of Thy word would search our hearts. By Thy Spirit tonight, Thou wilt deal with us, Lord. How often we've got to stop and ask ourselves the question. How often, Lord, we need to stop and just be searched in this. How is our love for Thee? O God, I pray that Thou wilt increase my love for Thee. Increase it, Lord, 100-fold. Lord, there are some in this meeting tonight and they're backslidden and cold at heart and have left their first love and have followed afar off and they're not with Christ as they ought to be. Lord, just now in the closing minutes of this meeting, I pray that Thou wilt speak to them. Draw them back to Thee, we pray. Save those who are not saved in this service. We thank Thee for Christ's love for sinners. We love Him because He first loved us. Write Thy word savingly upon souls. And Lord, now part us with Thy blessing. In Thy fear and with Thy favor, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.